Morning. Welcome back. We're in the second week of a series talking about broken dreams. I'm going to get into that here in a minute. Let's talk a little bit, though, about Easter at New Walk. We are just a few weeks away from a really big weekend here at our church, and we had a lot going on, as usual, for an Easter weekend. Put up a slide up here on the screen with some of the information, the times. We kind of like to do that in these weeks leading up so that you can see a few things that are going on. First of all, 10 different experiences starting on Thursday leading up to Easter weekend. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, over 4 days, 10 different times for you to choose from. And you can see as you look at this, there's some that after worship is over will have a helicopter. Some will have what we call the glow hunts. We've been adding glow hunts every year because they have become more and more popular. Those will be, we'll have one every night of the 4 days, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night. So if you're looking at the times, you got a card on your seat, I think, as well with these times. You'll see a 7 p.m. time. That is always going to be the glow hunt. All the other times, the other six, are going to have the helicopter. I put that on the screen, of course, to talk to you about what I shared last week, which was that we are filling kind of those spots to get help out in the field. I mentioned last week it takes about 300 people to do that. Over 10 services, that's 30 times 10. And so if you're somebody that can help in one of those outside with the kids, egg drop thing that's going on, the hunts that are taking place, if you can help us, I know we got many last week, but if you can help us, write egg drop on the back of your Connect card, circle it, drop it in the bucket. When the bucket's passed at the end of our time together, we'll get you plugged in on how you can help us there. If you're not serving at our church, this is a great little on-ramp, a moment for you to start learning to serve your community as a believer. So write egg drop on the back of your Connect card. Let's get in touch with you if you'll give us some good contact information. And just something else real quick about that slide. You do have cards on your seats. There are cards on the way out for you to grab. There are yard signs. I don't know if we've got any left, but we've had yard signs, social media stuff out there to invite as well. One quick note about yard signs. I always like to try to get this in. Yard signs in our community county code, it's illegal. I know you see them, but anyways, we could be fined if you put one. What I mean is on county property or city property. So please, don't go just like sticking them anywhere. If you got a yard, you can put it in. Great. If you got HOA, you got to pay attention to that as well. But you have a piece of property that you own. We'd love for you to take one of those yard signs as we have them. All right. So let's talk a little bit about our series. Second week, Broken Dreams, and we're really just trying to tackle how we handle these dark moments in life, these difficult moments, how we make it through that, how do we kind of get to the other side. And last week when we kicked it off, we kind of worked our way into this. Today, I want to start our conversation by shouting out a little phrase that people will say many times in church. You probably heard people say this in church if you grew up in church. They'll say, God is good all the time, and all the time. All right, a few of you know a little bit about that, right? And so that's a nice thing to say, and I certainly believe it to be true. However, let's just be honest about it. In the moment of brokenness, difficulty, mess, it is sometimes hard to really think, okay, God is good all the time, because I'm not feeling it right now. I don't feel like whatever's going on feels really good. This is not so good. And so I think in those moments of difficulty, brokenness, chaos in our life, that's what I want to talk about today. How do we actually come to understanding that, yes, God is still working, God is still on the throne, God is still trying to do something in my life? How do we know that? A very famous text that we're going to look at today and spend a lot of our time looking at today. Touched on it a couple of weeks ago. Here it is, Romans 8:28. Many of you know this text, but here's what it says. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. You know that scripture. Let's do this together, because some of you are just kind of still waking up on this Sunday. Let's read it out loud together with our very best 11 a.m. energy together. All right, so let's do this together. We'll read it out loud. Romans 8:28 says this. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Not bad, not bad. All right, so we read that, and here's what the scripture is saying, amongst other things, is probably trying to communicate to us in general this, that you as a believer, as somebody who loves God, all right, you're going to have times in your life where there's good things, bad things, high things, low things. God says, I'm going to use all of it in the way that he works, I'm going to use all of it for, in the end, for something good. Big topic today, only got a little bit of time to talk to you. Honestly, we could probably do a whole series on this particular verse. What I'm going to do today is give you what I would call the mini skirt version. I'm going to give you just enough to cover what needs to be covered, all right? And then hopefully it will help you, because the truth is we have these moments in life where there's brokenness, where there's hurt, where there's pain. And so what do we do in those times? And I think Romans 8:28 can help us a little bit. I put in your notes, if you're taking notes, you can pull those out, follow along with me. Broken for good, and I put a little question mark there because, yeah, like, okay, how can we know that this thing that I'm going through could be used actually for good? And to kickstart this thing, I put this fill-in in your notes. We have to understand that some situations in your life and my life, they're not a trial of faith as much as it would be a trial of your trust. Faith being one thing, trust being another thing. Faith, we develop a faith for our life, a faith where God is taking us, not just in the long game of our time here on earth, but into eternity. We develop a faith in our life as we learn more and more about who God is and what he wants for us in our lives. God wants you and I to discover that. And one of the great ways we discover that faith journey, depth of our faith journey, is, of course, through studying God's word, reading his word, unpacking his word, and we grow in our faith. Okay, God, trusting you, yes, but trusting starts first when we develop a faith journey. But as we develop the faith journey, that trust becomes key, because I could understand, like, God, you're trying to take me down here, this road in the long game, but in this moment, do I really have the strength and the trust to hold on so that I can get to where it is that you're trying to take me in this long game of life? Trusting God, it's easy to say, but in the moment, like when you get some news from the doctor, and when somebody you love very, very much passes away, when you are broken in your marriage or in a relationship or something in life, are you really going to trust that God is working, that God is still trying to utilize all the good and all the bad and all these things happening in your life for one day for something actually to be good? I wrote this in my notes, it's not in yours, but when you cannot trace God's hand, there comes a time where you have to learn and lean into his heart and his heart for your life. And so I can't see, God, how you're tracing things in my life. I can't see what you're trying to script out, but I just know your heart for me. I know your heart for my life. And so I'm going to trust you, all right? I'm going to go another level beyond faith. I'm going to trust you right now. Those moments where you've been in them and I've been in them, where you say, in a million years, I would have never thought I'd be in this position in life. I didn't see it coming. I could have never thought this could happen to me or in my life or to somebody that I love. In those moments, of course, we understand that God knows all things. He's omniscient, and whatever you're going through, he knew it was going. He already knew. He knew about it. He knew about it a long time ago. God is this all everywhere at one time. God, he's well aware of your trials and struggles, and he's well aware of all the things. He's working for the good. But in that moment, do you trust him in that way? God says, yes, I see everything. I know everything. I've got a plan, and I have watched over the years, as just in my time pastoring, I have watched over the years as this becomes problematic for people who call themselves Christians. One thing to say, I've got some faith. Another thing to trust. I was reminded on Friday, I didn't realize this until somebody said it on Friday the 13th, of course, they said this. Hey, did you know it's the 6-year anniversary of the lockdown from COVID? Like, we tried to forget that one, right? And so we didn't talk about it. But yeah, it's real. We went through that, and I watched as some people of faith said, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going to happen in my bank account. I don't know what's going to happen with my job. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I have faith, and I'm trusting God as we go through this. And I watched other people who said they were people of faith, and I watched them scatter all different directions. Chaos ensued, and so they lacked that ability to trust, all right? This is a next level way of operating in your life. And it's not even based on what we believe in that faith journey. It's built on this foundations we built in our life that we can trust God in everything. It's where you understand in a moment of crisis, like I may not feel God right now, but I know he's there and I believe that he would never leave me or forsake me, and I'm gonna trust that he's in me. He's not just near me, he's in me. His spirit is indwelling inside of me. He is inside of me. And so because he's inside of me, I'm gonna walk with him and I'm gonna trust him even though I don't fully understand. Look at what the scripture says in Psalm 34 and 19. Many, many are the, what's that next word? Many are the what? Afflictions of who? The righteous, but the Lord delivereth him, her out of all of it. I would have thought that that scripture would have said, many are the afflictions of the sinners. Doesn't that make more sense? Many are the afflictions of the sinners. No, that text said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And that's the reminder that yes, as a believer, as an unbeliever, we're going through afflictions, right? But that scripture said, God will deliver those of us who are walking with God, he will deliver us out of all of it. And I believe that, and I trust that, and that's what we're talking about here today. Sometimes you'll hear an unbeliever go, I thought you were a Christian, a God follower. Look at the messiness that's happening in your life. We knew that would happen. Chaos, I mean. Brokenness. The difference is that God has given me a way in which he can carry me through and deliver me from every bit of it. What we really understand is, as we look at this, you can't judge God in this moment of time. God is working like a mosaic. God is working with a bird's eye view of the situation, so you can't just make a judgment off a piece of it in the moment. It's sort of like if you've ever used the panoramic camera thing on your phone, where you can take a panoramic, and if you've ever tried to do that, right, what do we know? Like you have to do it just right. You know, you gotta hold the button down, be real steady, follow the line on the screen, go all the way through to the end, and when you finally do it exactly right, you get the picture that kind of sees the whole thing on the panoramic. But if you've ever messed it up, right, and you hit the button wrong and you didn't do it right, like you take that, it takes that quick little snapshot and you look for the panoramic and all you see is this image on your camera roll and you're like, that ain't it. Like, that is not what I was going for. Like, I don't know what happened. What happened is you got a quick little snapshot in the moment. You didn't finish the panoramic. You got a quick little snapshot in the moment, and it was not even close to what you kind of wanted to see in the long game. And that's kind of how God operates. He's working in the panoramic, and you could take a little snapshot in the moment, and it ain't going to look right. It doesn't look like what you were hoping for, right? But in time, because he's working in the panoramic, he's saying, hey, I've got a plan that's going on, right? And so I can look back, and I'll have a chance one day to look back and see what God is doing. But in this moment, I don't fully see it. In fact, I wrote it down like this. Life can only be lived looking forward. Absolutely. But you can only understand things about life by looking backwards. And I know this about some people in this room. You've lived enough in life. Because of where you are now, you can look backwards in life and see some things that you learned and some things that you went through and how God was working during those times. You didn't know it in the moment, because in the moment it was clear, but now where you are, you've lived enough in life to say, God brought me through that so that I could be here, and God brought me through that so that I could be here in this moment. And so now, again, by looking at the fullness of what God is doing, you see his plan. Yeah, Jeremiah 29:11 tells us, God says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, and they are plans to prosper you and not to harm you. God says, I'm trying to do this day in and day out in your life, plans to give you hope and plans to give you a future. But how do you cling to that in those tough moments? You trust. Over the years, I've said, man, one of the great disappointments in life for so many people is when they've climbed the ladder of life, and they've been climbing, they put that ladder up on a wall in life, and they climbed that ladder for 40 or 50 years, and then they came to a place and they realized they were climbing up the wrong wall and using the wrong ladder in life. And that's such a tough moment where you realize, like, all of the things I've been putting my energy into, like,
was not what God wanted for me in my life. God says, yeah, I want you to go on this purpose-filled journey. I want you to climb through that journey of life, but I want you to kind of climb the right wall in life, you know, not the wrong one. What I've noticed is that some people, they're climbing on that faith ladder, purpose-filled God ladder, and then the chaos comes, and what do? Instead of like, okay, I'm gonna keep going, they get down and they go on a different ladder because they lacked the trust. Do I trust that there's more to the story? Do I trust that God may have something up his sleeve that I can't see now? Life is like if you go to a theater, you go to a play, there's gonna be multiple acts, right? Act one, maybe four acts to the play. So act one, act two, act three, act four. And if you go to a play and you see the early part of the play, the first act, that curtain may come down at the end of that act, and it could be very suspenseful, could be even dark in that moment, right? And if you were to draw a conclusion about the rest of the play, that would be really silly in that moment, because what do you know? There's more acts to come. We're not finished with the story. And so the same thing is true in your life. There are times where it feels like the curtain has come down, but it's one act. There's still more happening. That's why it's so sad when people, you know, take their life. Because in a moment, they only see the curtain has come down in this situation in their life. And God's like, there's so much more for your life. You know, much of the data tells us that the highest percentage of people who take their own life are from the ages of, say, 12, 13, up to 25 or 26. And in those moments, you know, it's like, okay, I can't see clearly what could be later, that God may have more in store for my life, that there may be a future. And heck, if it's me, you know, and I got a choice to be blessed on the front half of my life or the back half of my life, I'm gonna choose the back half anyways, because I'll have more wisdom and more understanding in the later years of my life. But in those early years, man, that those moments happen. And so the challenge and the reminder, especially you're here today, you're somebody young, man, God has got so much more, so many more acts to your life that he wants to reveal. You can't see it now, but the best days of your life are still ahead. The best days are still there in your future. And so the first thing is this: I'm going through these trials in life. Am I gonna hang on? And am I gonna trust? And then I remember this, and I put this in your notes. How does he work in those broken moments? We remember this, that everything is either God sent or God used. Everything is either God sent or God used. Remember all things, right? The positives, the negatives, the highs and the lows, for richer, for poorer, all of it is used for something good. And so we know that and we trust that. We know that in this moment of life that I'm going through that's very difficult, God is going to use that in some kind of way, in the way that he operates in this sort of gathering of all the good and the bad in our life. What that means is there may be a time in your life where you get a no on something that you wanted to be a yes so bad. And you wanted that window to open in your life. You wanted that door to open. You were knocking on that door and you got a no. And you feel like you were rejected. You feel like you were lost. You feel like you were hurt. And God's reminder to you is like, hold on. If you'll trust me in the way that I'm working this story, you may have got a no here, but I'm up to something. I'm up to something. And there's a time in your life where you're going to get a yes, and you'll be able to realize why that no was so critical to your life. In that moment, you don't see it, but if you'll trust, there's a story that I'm working in your life that's gonna develop in such a way that you'll have the ability to tell others about the testimony, about the story of your life and what you've learned in your life lessons. I put this in my notes. It's amazing how many times a great message comes out of a mess. It's amazing how many times a great testimony comes out of a test. It's amazing how many times great triumphs come out of trials. It's amazing how many times you have victory, but you were once a victim in your life. There's always the opportunity for there to be glory from the story of your life, but you won't know. Again, you won't know until you bail out, unless you bail out. If you bail out, you won't realize it. You won't see it. You won't discover it, but if you'll hold tight. God says, I'm going to show you how I'm writing this story. I'm going to show you how it's not finished and how you'll be able to bring a testimony testimony to other people. Heck, God said, I'm not done with this story, so much so that he gave us victory over death, hell, and the grave. There's a reason why Jesus came out of that grave. There's a reason why there is an empty tomb, and that is the reminder to you and I, even in the face of death, the story is not over. There is still more that's happening. So God, I want to see how you're going to write this story in my life so that it can be a story to tell others, and you're going to use that in a powerful way. Our church is filled with people who have these stories that, man, that curtain closed on one act of my life, but it opened and God revealed so much more, and they're able to tell others, like, hang on, it's a dark time, but hang on, because here's what I went through. God does that. He uses those things. Here's the next thing I'd put in your notes. Delay, don't forget this, delay always has a purpose. You may not like it. In fact, I know this, and you know this. Nothing will vex, dagger your soul, sometimes it feels painful anyways, more than having to wait when you think you've got a promise and you got to wait. Like, oh my gosh, you know, we don't like to wait, and we've talked about this over the years and how everything is so much more fast and instant. Like, I remember this week I ordered something on Monday online, and Friday it still hadn't gotten here. I was so ticked. I was like, this company I ordered from, they're terrible. Don't they realize that everybody gets their stuff like the next day now? I mean, who takes 5 days anymore to get a package, you know? And so I found myself like, golly, I'm sure worked up over not getting this thing. Like, we want stuff so quickly. And so it's hard to trust God that he's patient, to be patient and to trust him in this process. And sometimes it's monotonous, and sometimes it's laboring, and sometimes you just don't understand, like, why he would have us do this. And I brought this little dumbbell up on the stage to kind of give you the example of how God works. I got this. This is a 200-pound dumbbell, and 7.5 pounds. If God told you, here's my plan for you, I want you to just do curls with that, like 200 times a day for, I don't know, or every other day for the next year, there would be some times where you're like, 7.5 pounds, this is ridiculous. But how many of you know, through a lot of repetition in time, though it's like, ugh, what am I doing? This is ridiculous. Over time, sculpting is going to happen. Shaping is going to happen. It's a slow process. It's going to be slow, but it's going to start to develop. You're going to do it over and over again, and God will start to, in the weights, it'll start to be revealed to you, the shaping. God does that on our spiritual journeys. Okay, he's asking me to do this. He's asking me, I should probably actually do this more often, but I don't. Anyways, there's no sculpting there. But I do know this, that in life, God is asking me to do some things and to be patient and to keep laboring and to keep working. I'll just tell you right now, I don't have time to go into it. This building out here is a picture of patience, of a lot of things that I've gone through just so we could be kind of where we are. All of us have gone through. It says this, though, in James 1:4, as patience, right? But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. You know, there's this saying in the spiritual and in the Christian realm, we'll say, you know what, God's never late. He's always on time. I'm not gonna lie, man. Like, there's some times in my life where I'm like, it would be really marvelous right now, God, if you would surprise me right now. I don't want to wait any longer. Like, okay, so let's do it right now. Get this thing going. But he's got his own timing. He's got his own plan. And so he's getting us into this pattern of learning this perfect work of patience in our life. I put this in your notes. Time reveals things to you and I. I put three things. There's probably a lot more, but only time for these. So I give you these. Time is designed to do this in your notes, to educate you. As time passes, you get educated more. As time passes, you grow in wisdom. Discernment begins to be sharpened over time. You're able to grow in this area of your life. Okay, God, you're dealing more education into my life in the spiritual realm. Ask a 5-year-old what they want right now today to bring them to have them to be happy. They'll ask for a piece of candy. Ask your 25-year-old son or daughter now what they need to find happiness, what they're looking for, and what they would want. It's going to be different because 20 years has passed and you've learned some things about life. Ask a 55 or 65-year-old person what they want right now in life. And I'm going to tell you, their answer will be very different than somebody who's 25. Why? Because time has passed. Because time has passed, we've learned some things. We've gotten wisdom. We've got education. And as time passes, you and I, we're able to get that for our life. And so we may not have wanted to wait, but in that waiting, we grow in our understanding of what God is trying to do. Here's the next thing in your notes. Time will expose. It'll expose the truth about what things are and what things aren't. It'll reveal what really is and what really is not. It will reveal things about character and other people and integrity as you know, when you're doing relationships. Time does all of these things. By the way, if you think about the relationship realm, the first two I've just given you, probably all three of these, but you talk about educating and exposing what is really going on, right? In the dating realm, you start to meet somebody, time will reveal like an education to you about wisdom, about who this person is, and it will expose their character and their integrity over time, right? So you'll see these things play out, but in life in general, about anything, God says, yes, as delay is happening, I'm going to show you what really is. For example, if I took 12 seeds up here, and they're all seeds that once they're fully grown produce fruit, all right, I get 12 seeds up here and show them to you. You may not know what those seeds are going to produce one day, right? Unless you're a seedologist or whatever the word is. Like, you're not going to know what these seeds do. But if I have 12 of these, what's going to ultimately reveal what the plant was in each of one of those, what the fruit is going to be, what will it be? It will be time, right? We put them in the ground, we're going to water them, whatever, and give them some sunlight, and then over time, this thing grows, and over time, the fruit comes off the tree, and now you're able to say, oh, that's what that seed was. Oh, that's what was planted in the ground. Now I know. And that's how life works at times, where, okay, I don't know what it is now, but in time, a revealing will take place, right? It, of course, in relationships, you get this with character and integrity or lack thereof of the person, right? We know this. It will reveal good character and good things about people, and good fruit, right? Or unhealthy things. Sometimes I talk to guys who want to go into ministry, or I've had guys that gone into ministry that I've known or tried to go on staff at a church, and I've known something about their integrity that it wasn't good. I'm going to tell you this. In ministry, if you are in low integrity, it will be revealed quickly. The pressures of ministry do that. And sometimes I'll see a guy go into ministry and I'm like, not that one. He should not be in ministry because I know there's some things going on there with that character and that integrity. But I know in time, right? I just know in time the fruit, what's really going on there will be revealed. But it's not just that way in ministry. It's that way in life. Like, okay, you're going to see these things revealed as time passes. And so sometimes God uses that to show you what might could be. I don't know if you know how a pearl becomes what it becomes in an oyster, but it basically becomes a pearl because the very first thing that happens is an irritant gets inside, like a mineral gets inside the shell of the oyster. And then the oyster has these things that it produces and these enzymes or whatever they are, and it causes them to attack the mineral that's in there, and it goes through this process and development and refinement, and then eventually you get the pearl. You don't get that pearl, and you don't see what that pearl really is until the irritant, until the trial, until the moment is happening of that work that's happening on the inside. Again, time does this for you and I, and when you allow time to pass, things will be exposed for what they really are. Here's what I put in your notes. Time eliminates. In time, you start to learn what is really most valuable in life. If you're old enough in this room, you're watching online, you know that in time, all right, you figure out what are the most valuable things in life and what are not. And because you know what is not most valuable, you're able to start eliminating the unhealthier things as time passes in your life and starting to roll with the things that really, really matter. Like, life has a lot of clutter. As you get older, you're able to see with God's help over time, like, this is probably not what I need for my life any longer. And so this is, like, there's a maturity, and so I don't want that for me any longer, but I'm gonna go with this. It'd be like, some of you can relate, if you looking at your closet full of clothes. You know, as you get older, I don't know if some of you have realized this, but your body shapes can change as you get older. Have you noticed this? All right? And so the clothes of your youth may not be the clothes that are fitting you today. But we do this interesting thing with our clothes, and I've done this before as well. We hold on to years' worth of clothes because we're like, I think one day I might fit back in that. And so if I fit back in that, you know, I still got it in my closet, and I won't have to buy those new clothes again, so I'm going to hold on to them, right? And then one day you come to this place where you're like, I don't think I'm ever getting in them clothes again, and they're out of style anyways. So it's spring cleaning, right? Cleaning out this closet, getting all this stuff out of here that doesn't need to be here. Over time, life has a way of doing that, to say, hey, that there is not, like, those relationships, those habits, those things I used to pour my time into, like, they're not helpful for my life any longer. And that's what maturity does, and spiritual maturity does that. Let you realize, let you grow up. I've shared this over the years, this famous text. Many times I'll share it, 1 Corinthians 13:11. Hey, Paul says, you know what? When I was a child, I spoke like a child, and I understood like as a child, and I thought as a child. But I grew up, and as I grew up, I started to think and see things differently. I started to prioritize, you know, those things that pulled me away from my family, pulled me away from my children, and affected my marriage, that were unhealthy for my life. Like, I'm moving beyond those things because I'm maturing. I'm eliminating the unhealthy so that I can focus on the healthy for my life. I put this in your notes. God's answer to every problem almost always includes a person. Did you know that? How does God take us through these trials in life and these broken moments in life? God's power, his Holy Spirit, right, guiding you in those dark moments. But he tells us there's another element to this that's powerful for your life. It's God's people. God and God's people. And they ask Jesus, you know, what are the great commandments? Love God and love others. Because it comes down to that, the simplicity of life. And so God's carrying me through. And other people, God is always using people to help bring us through difficult situations, right? God used Moses to bring God's people out of Egypt, right, when they were enslaved. And so God used a person. God used Nehemiah when the walls in Jerusalem were broken down. God says, I got a guy, you know, this guy's going to take the helm. We're going to get this thing done. God does this continually, how people are utilized. That's why you're plugging into a church. And getting connected is so important. You will go through dark times in your life, and here's what you need. You absolutely need this. When you're going through dark times, you need somebody in your life whispering into your ear, maybe yelling into your ear, and they're saying this. I know you're going through something dark right now, but God spoke some things to you when you were in the light. And he said that this is who you are, this is whose you are, this is the plan, this is the design I have for your life, and we can forget that in dark moments. And you need somebody in your ear saying, no, don't you forget who God said you were and when you were in the light. God utilizes people to carry us through those broken times. Do you have people in your life to remind you who God says you are in the midst of those dark times? That's so valuable, and I've watched over the years is some people understand how big of a deal this is, and some people miss it completely for their life. It's not just us for others here in the church. It's for people in our community. God is utilizing people to show God's hands and feet to a community, to a broken people. Right? As so many over the years of our church, so many of the ways that we've been able to reveal the love of God to other people is when people went out and helped other people. Over the years, we've done some amazing things as a church to serve our community. I mentioned COVID earlier. I don't know if you were around here during that time, but I can tell you this. There were cars lined up multiple times a week as we passed out food all the way around, outside, you know, out into the street. We loaded up cars with food. People were having trouble getting food during that time. And I can remember that. And I can remember times when the hurricanes have come. And now it seems like it's pretty regular. And a year and a half, we had like really bad hurricanes here and right in our area. We had teams of people who went out to minister and care and love for other people. And it's in those moments where there's chaos happening and somebody goes, where's God in all of this? He's right there being utilized by a person. He's the hands and feet of Jesus in that person's life. And he's come to your home and he's come to help and he's come in this way. And God is always utilizing people to be this kind of thing for all of humanity. And so when you serve and when you give and when you help other people that are in need, you are bringing forth this light, this Romans 8:28 living that says it is dark right now, but there's more ahead. You're bringing hope. And this is what we do as believers. Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. John 15:12, my command is this, that you would love each other as I have loved you. The currency that God trades in to help a culture, to help a people. And somebody says, I know what'll fix everything. We need more money. We need more money. I need more money. And God's not fixing things like with money. It's always been God and God's people. He's not in the printing counterfeit business. He's in the God and God's people business. And I want to know, I want that to be a part of my life. I want that around me in my life. I hope you do as well. I put this in your notes. It's not really about what you're going through in the moment that matters. In the end, it's the shaping, right? It's what you are becoming in the process. I wrote this down in my notes. God's not as concerned about your comfort as much as he is about your development. It is interesting. God is always disturbing the comfortable, and he's always comforting the disturbed. But in the end, it's this process. What am I becoming? How am I being shaped? There's a character. There's a refinement. There's a development deep inside of me for my life and my future. There's a lesson to be learned that I'm immersing in so that when I get to the other side, I have a new way about me. What lessons are you learning during difficult times? Have you ever talked to people who've been through awful times and times in our history? I don't know if you ever had a chance in your life to talk to somebody who lived through the Great Depression. If you've had that chance, I hope you have, because, man, you can learn. They learned some stuff about life. They learned some things, and they came out the other end very different because of what they learned during the Great Depression. I've had that chance. It's unbelievable conversations about development and refinement and character. You talk to somebody who's been in wars. They know some things that they've learned about who they are in life. And talk to somebody, more recently, right? Things, we've gone through 9/11, things that happened. We went through COVID and we learned things, right? If we really dug in, we learned things about life and character and who we are. And as we go through the journey of life, it's really a process that we're working. Okay, God, what are you doing now in this moment to shape me for something in the future of my life? And so I'm growing, I'm maturing, I'm developing. It doesn't happen overnight, but in the process, it happens. And then here's the last thing in your notes. All of this change and all of this opportunity to live in this Romans 8:28 fashion happens in a moment of a decision. A moment of choosing. I don't want you to miss this. You're here today. You love that verse. Oh, good. God works all the good and the bad for the good. You love that. Here's what I want to say to you. You're not a believer. You don't have a relationship with God. You have no access to this right now in your life. I don't say that in a mean way. I say that to say, but it doesn't have to be that way. You can leave here today and you can start having access to a Romans 8:28 way of living in your life. But it happens with a decision, because I don't want you to forget what that scripture said in Romans 8:28. It said, all of this is available for those who love God. And so that means you have to choose whether you want that for your life or not. This moment of choosing that says, yeah, I see what this text says. And okay, God can use the good and the bad, the highs and the lows, the in good health and in sickness, for rich and poor. He can use all of it together. You know, it's not an or, it's an and. It's not sickness or health, it's an and. God works all these things that are happening in our life. It's like taking the positive and the negative from a battery, and there's a reason why you get both of those currents to make what makes it the energy that comes out of that, because it's a positive and a negative. God says, I'm gonna make a current, right, out of positive and negative things in your life, and that is available for those who love God. And so this moment of decision is upon us, and I wanna give somebody an opportunity to choose today on a moment of decision that they want this for their life. The word decision comes from this Latin word that means basically to draw a line, to like, okay, I'm drawing a line, no more. I'm putting this thing down. I'm putting this thing in the ground. It's a cutoff moment. This way I was living, but now I'm going to live this way going forward. God is giving you a chance to choose what you want for your life. And this is a cutoff moment where you can say, yeah, I've had some broken things, but I'm going to trust that God's going to use all of it one day for something so spectacular. The story of your life is over. Not over. It's not over. It's not completed. It's just one act that's completed, maybe two acts, but there's more. The best is yet to come. He's got more in store for you in your life and in my life. It reminds me of a time when my daughter was young. She had a friend over to play, and they were coloring. And my daughter had a color in her hand that her friend wanted, and there wasn't another one, another crown there of that color. And so she heard him say that, and she took the crown that she had in her hand, and she looked at me, and she snapped it in half. And I thought in that moment, she is literally looking me in the eye and saying, if I can't have this crown, then ain't nobody gonna have it. So I'm gonna break it right in front of you. I'm not sharing it at all. No, no, what'd she do? She took that crown, half of it, and she handed it to her friend so that they could each color. And in that moment, she took something that was broken and it could be used for good. And folks, that little moment right there is the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he can take this mosaic of your life and have something spectacular come of it, of all the little pieces. In fact, I would submit to you today, this morning, in this room, we are a box of broken crowns. God says we're going to use it for good for those who love him. And so let's pray together now. God, there's somebody in the room right now. They've been hit with something, and maybe it is words like this, where you'd say, I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe I'm going through this. I would have never guessed this for my life. Maybe it's a trial. It's born out of a health issue or a marriage issue or a financial issue or some other relationship or type thing going on in your life right now, and you would say, I'm a believer, and you would say that I have faith, and you would know that to be true, but you're in a place in this crucible moment of your life where you must decide that you're going to trust, that you're going to hang on, that God has so much more, that things are not over, things are not finished yet. And so right now in this room, in this place, there may be some of you, I'm praying, God, that you would strengthen them to hold on, that they would listen to people around them, to tell them like there's still great things ahead. They would ultimately listen to the voice of God, that there's still great things ahead. God, you are using it, all these things, for the glory and for the kingdom of God, so we're trusting you. Somebody here in the room, though, right now, in this place, this morning, you're watching online, here's your story. You have not accessed this way of living because you do not have a relationship with God. But you can walk out of here with access to it today. That's how the good news of Jesus works, that in a moment, in an instant, you can surrender to him. 24, 25 years ago, I made the decision in my life, the cutoff moment. The line in the sand was drawn, and I said, no more this way. God, I want to go your way. And in that moment, I walked out of that church, and I had access to this way of living. And right now, you can receive access to that. And the Bible says that God wants you to have that loving relationship with him, and he made a way for that to be possible right now. And that relationship happens when your sin has been forgiven by the gift of God's one and only Son. God says, I made a way in which you, seated right here in this room, you're watching online, can have access to the Heavenly Father, and it starts with your sin being forgiven. Just right now, where you're seated, you're watching online, just bend a knee in your heart. Maybe you're watching online, you're in a place where you can bend a knee physically right now, and you would just say, God, right where I'm at, I surrender to you. I am ready, God, to live for you, to learn with you, God, to journey with you, and I accept the gift of forgiveness poured out on the cross by your one and only Son, Jesus. starting today with you, God, I surrender in Jesus' name. Amen.